some high energy, good smells came in the room with Taj to bring you transformational tea with Taj. You have a special guest for us today.
I do.
Let's have a short chat to welcome you in the studio.
Aloha.
Hi, Taj.
Hi.
How's it going?
I am doing great.
Look good.
Thank you.
Light and summery.
I know. It feels like summer's here.
It's hot, isn't it?
I mean, spring, but...
Yeah.
I know. I'm all flowery today.
Great. Fantastic.
So I have a guest on today. It'll be in about 12:15, and his name is Paul Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a mantra. He's a therapist, and his mantra is... I call it a mantra. It's
mm-hmm,
not his
mm-hmm.
words.
Okay.
Argue less, love more. And it's all about helping people to get... you know, their stuff out of the way. And he does it in a really fun way. He uses compassionate communication and a lot of other skills he's developed. So we're going to talk about that today.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Fantastic. Looking forward.
So we're going to talk about the law of egos today, aren't we, Paul? And how... Oh, wait. Hold on one second. You're not on. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. We're going to dive in and just look at how do we... connect with ourselves when it shows up as another human being. Right. And when it's easy, you don't need special tools.
That's right.
And when it's difficult, that's what I think would be important to talk about, to give people tools so that they can connect with compassion and courage and understanding when what they're hearing is something that is scary or challenging.
So let's talk about you, first of all.
Okay.
So you've been doing this work for how long?
Oh, over 20 years now. And part of it is they say, you talked a bit about spiritual masters. They say almost every master was once a disaster. So I went through one divorce, three broken engagements. I went through a lot of relationship challenges to the point where I felt like there must be something wrong with me.
Well, where did you come from and what's your background before this?
I came from an Irish alcoholic, recovering Catholic family. And when I was old enough to leave home, which was at 17, I headed from Vermont to Alaska to become a commercial fisherman and spent the next 18 years trying to prove that I was a man. In one of the most dangerous things you can do outside of active military duty, commercial fishing in Alaska.
And very, very masculine.
Very masculine.
Work.
And what I was really trying to do is prove that I had that masculine side, because the truth is I've got a very kind side, a very feminine side, a gentle side. So now I'm kind of balanced between the two.
And what got you into, well, did you do therapy first yourself, or did you notice that things weren't working out, or how?
Oh, I noticed things.
Well, I know,
but noticed things weren't working out.
I know, but noticing and deciding to do something about it are two different things.
Very different. And actually, the introduction started when a guy named Robert Kiyosaki, he's the guy who wrote the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad,
I've seen that.
Came to Alaska and did a workshop called Money in You, which was my first eye-opening experience about that there was this whole thing called personal development, personal transformation, that you could actually change your destiny. Then from there, I studied with Tony Robbins. I flew down to Seattle and took his courses and then was on his volunteer staff and then got on his paid staff. And God, years later, Tony hired me to come back and teach his inner circle. And when Tony did my introduction, I knew things had shifted in my world.
Right. So you've been doing the practices.
I've been doing the practices. And the biggest teacher, you know, because there was a lot, Tony, Robert, Marshall Thurber, but somebody who really transformed my world and the world of communication, because the quality of your relationship is based on the quality of your communication. And when that communication falls apart, so does your relationship.
Right.
And I didn't understand communication as a system until I studied with a guy named Dr. Marshall Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught something called nonviolent communication or compassionate communication. And having studied that for about 20-some years, what I realized the essence of it is using language to be able to enter somebody's world so completely that they feel heard, understood, and valued. And that's what we want. It doesn't mean that we need to agree with them.
Well, I think that's kind of a key right there, is that people want to be understood and they want agreement. They think they want agreement because the judgment that happens when there isn't agreement. It's a psychological thing, but it's very interesting.
I would watch. There's a distinction there because, like, I'll give you a personal example because I do that. I was with a prior beloved and ex-fiancé. I woke up one morning. I had a dream that she had an affair, and I had all of the feelings. Like, I woke up with the feelings, and I knew it wasn't real, but it still felt that way. Right. And I leaned over and I said, "Honey, I just had this dream that you had an affair." And rather than defending or agreeing, she leaned in and said, "Wow, that must have been really scary. I'll bet you're hurting right now and need some reassurance." And, like, even as I'm saying it here on the radio show, years later, I can still feel myself tear up a little bit. She didn't defend, right, didn't attack, didn't try to prove me wrong. She just met me where I was at with total compassion.
Right.
And I didn't need to be agreed with. Once I felt heard and really understood, you'd be amazed that people don't need agreement as much as they think they do. What they really need is they need to be heard, understood,
right,
and valued.
Right, right. That's true.
And when what happens almost automatically is if I really hear you, you'll look at me and go, "Oh, okay, I feel heard. What about you? What's your side? Let me hear you now."
Right. But this is also something that takes a development of being able to do it.
And
in a relationship, both people have to learn how to do it.
Well, it's in Colorado where I spend my summers now, but there's a mountain called Crested Butte. And in Crested Butte, there's, I know your husband skis, there's diamonds, mm-hmm, and then there's double diamond, and then there's double diamond extreme.
Wow.
Like, you really need to know what you're doing. And the thing is, most people get on these difficult slopes without knowing what they're doing. Because
exactly,
in a relationship, there's so many different facets of it, and they're not trained. They're not trained to be able to deal with it.
Right.
And they need to, like, not dabble in it. Because
but
there's a difference.
Commit to it.
Right. Because there's a difference between dabbling and mastery.
Right.
You wouldn't want to go have a dentist drill on your teeth that says, "Hi, I'm a dabbler. I just, like, I got a magazine on dentistry. I thought I'd try it out." You want somebody who masters it. And in your relationship, this is something that's a lifelong commitment,
right,
to mastery. And most people don't pick up a book, don't go to a workshop, don't go to whether it's a relationship coach, which I am, or a therapist or a counselor. They only do it when they're in extreme pain.
That's right.
And there's a big difference between, like, dealing with your health as an avoidance of pain or dealing with your health as a goal that you want to be as healthy,
right,
as you can be.
So it's maintenance.
Yeah.
You want to have preventative maintenance.
Exactly.
You
and
learn the skills.
Same thing in relationship. And there's three core ones. How do you clear up the past? Because that's what destroys most relationships. Most relationships don't end because of a lack of love. They end because people run into a problem that's bigger than their skill set, that they're unprepared to deal with. So you need to learn how to clear up the past. The second thing is how to be present. And one perfect example for all of you that are parents out there that are with a little kid, kids know how to be present. If you look into, mm-hmm, the eyes of a six-month-old or one-year-old, they can look back and there's nothing there. There's no story. They're just totally present with you in that moment. It's the most amazing thing. And that's what we really want in relationships.
Absolutely.
And it's awkward. It's uncomfortable. See, the thing is, most of the great skills in relationships, you have to learn how to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
And part of that is learning new communication skills, getting outside of your comfort zone, really being able to, what you're trying to do and what I was saying about nonviolent communications, how do I enter your world so that you feel heard, understood, and valued? And then how do I have you enter my world?
Right.
And with nonviolent communication, there was a four-step method that's sort of your training wheels. And Marshall used to talk to a lot of people. He talked to me about it, too. But people get confused. They think nonviolent communication is the four-step method.
Is what?
Is the four-step method. It's like nonviolent communication is those four steps.
Oh, no. But the four-step method is just the beginning.
It's the training wheels to get you to the place where you can enter somebody else's world. And when you really enter their world, it's not just the intellect, because there are three parts of the brain that deal with relationships. There's the reasoning part, the intellect, and you lead with logic there. There's the relating part, and that's the part where you lead with love. Mm-hmm. That's that connecting part. And then there's the reactive part, and that leads with fear and loss. Its job is to protect you.
Right, and that's based on the past.
Yeah, and it will... Its job is almost to screw up every relationship you've ever had.
I know, because you then project that into the future when there's an action in the present and you can't be present. You project that fear from the past
right
onto that person for the future.
Yep. And the thing, when you get into the reactive part of your brain, it has three options: fight, flight, freeze.
Right.
And if you're uncomfortable and you're not used to it, what you do is you look around the room and you go, what's moving? I'm in this much discomfort, it must be somebody's fault.
Yeah.
And so whoever happens to be close, they get blamed.
Right.
And the challenge is most people aren't aware when they're in their reactive mind. They're in it so often because they don't have compassion, doesn't live there. That reptile brain doesn't have compassion and empathy the ability to look out at somebody else. All they think about is, got to defend myself, where's the enemy? So here's a magical question that the listeners can kind of think about. When you get triggered, and everybody does, you can look at your partner and go, enemy, ally, enemy, ally. Which one are they? Are they enemy or the ally? And the other one is, am I feeling is this dangerous or just discomfort? Because a lot of times we confuse danger for discomfort. And maybe the dishes weren't done and he said he was going to do them, and you treat it like
life and death. Life-threatening situation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Rather than, I'm uncomfortable.
Right.
Because everything, we make up these stories in our head and don't check them out. Because the mind's a meaning-making machine, and what we want to do is check out our stories and go like, honey, when you didn't do the dishes, I made up a story that your agreements with me don't matter to you, and I can't trust you. And boy, that was a shitty story, or excuse me, a uncomfortable story. And I don't want to have that story, so can we sit and talk? And you start to reveal your world to your partner. And the reason I said you'd say it as a story, not as if like this is the truth.
Right, because it's not the truth. It's just your version of what could be the truth.
Right, and so I want to reveal that. And then what happens is you get to understand me, and then I get to hear your story. Whatever your story is.
Right. And that takes... Well, what are the four steps that take you first to be able to actually even do this and still not get triggered, even when you're just listening to someone's story?
Well, one thing is... And I'm not sure which four steps you're asking for. In the NBC four steps?
Yeah.
One thing to make sure is early on, if you even start to feel yourself get triggered... One of the things I teach my clients is to raise a hand, like, slow down, let's slow down. And then in NBC, there's observation. When I saw the dishes were still in the sink, then observation, feeling, needs, requests.
Okay.
I ended up feeling hurt and disappointed and scared, and I'm needing trust and support in the house. Would you be willing to... And at first, what I would probably say is, would you be willing to tell me what you heard me say? Because that's where it could easily go wrong.
Right.
I heard you say that I'm a loser. You can't trust me. I lie and cheat. Great. Thank you. Now, see, there's an interesting turning point. This is subtle but critical. As soon as somebody says something very different than what you said... What most people do is go, that's not right. You never hear me right.
Right.
You know,
so then you have a whole other thing
down
that
we
you're
go.
Dealing with.
The trigger to trigger.
Right.
What you do is go, wow, thank you. Because they did what I said. Right. I asked you to tell me what you heard. You told me. And I go, let me try again. And what I'll do is, what I teach is the opposite of like common practice. Because we think the more that we say... the more likely they are to hear it.
It's the opposite, too.
What you need to do is, if you really want to be heard, you need to make it small chunks.
Right.
So what I'd like to try again, can I tell you, when I came home and I saw the dishes still in the sink, I felt frustrated and disappointed. Can you tell me what you heard me say? Yeah, you don't love me. You think I'm a loser. I can't even do the dishes. Like, and you might have to go through. I was teaching this in prison once, because I've taught it anywhere from university to prison to inmates, so it works. And it took this one inmate 10 times of hearing just a sentence before she could state back the sentence without going into reaction.
Right, to be the observer. Well, we have to hold on just for 1 second. We have to do a little intermission here. This is KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, and it is 12:31. You are listening to Transformational Tea with Taj. I'm here with Paul Sterling talking about relationships. And up next is Omnitorium.
Thousands of cigarette butts litter our parks and beaches. Is Kauai an ashtray? Smokers, if you're in your car or at the beach, hang on to your butts. Protect ocean wildlife and keep Kauai clean. A reminder from the Surf Rider Foundation.
Okay, we are talking to Paul Sterling, and we're talking about relationships and communication. Okay, so back to your stories.
Okay, so what you want to be able to do is just keep slowing it down. The way I describe it is almost like if you were driving around the island and you wanted somebody to follow you, what would you do? You would slow down. You would check in your rearview mirror. If you're going to make a turn, you put on your turn signal. In communication, we tend to do the opposite. We go speeding ahead, we say a lot of words, and we lose them. And people go, well, I don't have time to be doing all this talk. And what happens is we end up with miscommunication, upsets, arguments, and we end up wasting a lot of time
rather
than getting it right the first time. And one of the things Marshall said is the normal outcome of communication is misunderstanding. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that you understand me. So I will ask you, can you tell me what you heard me say? And I will get the feedback. And when you say something totally different, I acknowledge and appreciate that and say, let me try again. So here's another one of these key distinctions. It may sound subtle, but there's a huge difference between what I think I'm saying and what you think you're hearing.
Right.
Now, one way of looking at it is, I said it right, you're just screwed up and heard it wrong. That's like the surgeon comes out of the surgery, they say, doctor, how did it go? The doctor says, the operation went great, but the patient died. So he was responsible for just his part, but not for the life of the patient. And a lot of times in relationships, it's similar. We say, well, I said it right, they heard it wrong.
Right.
What I want to be is I want to be responsible for what you heard, not just what I said. That shifts the onus onto me, and what I'll do is go, wow, Taj, what did you hear? Oh, you heard bad, stupid, wrong, that you did it wrong.
Right.
That's not what I wanted you to hear. Let me try again. Let me try again and again until I'm clear that you heard what I wanted you to hear.
See, this is it's such a powerful thing if there's an agreement in the beginning to be able to take all the steps and not stop and get stuck on one of them, but be able to go back and forth until it's clear and it doesn't feel like so much work. Because I know in the communication, we think we want it to just happen fast and be over.
Yeah, and it is actually, it's a lot of work. It's actually a commitment. Now, there's four different ways you can play the game, and when I say the game, I'm afraid that people will interpret it that I'm thinking of relationships as a game, but the metaphor works.
Right.
So one way people play the game is playing to win, and it's not to beat your partner, but it's you're moving the relationship forward, and you're risking, and you have a vision, and you're trying to enroll your partner in your vision, and you're going for it. And the second way is playing not to lose. So playing not to lose, what you're doing, and I play racquetball a lot in the winter, and playing not to lose, you're in reaction. The other person's making the shots, but you're basically...
Oh, yeah, okay, I get it. You're not the subject, you're the object.
Yeah, and you're not making anything happen, and you're not risking anything. And the third
way is playing it safe.
Yes, that's another way of playing it. Yeah. Playing it safe. Another way is playing it to lose. So you're basically destructive. It's almost like you're looking for who's to blame. You're going around playing the blame, shame, guilt game. And if everybody played the way you're playing, it would destroy the game in very short order.
The whole relationship.
And the fourth way is playing for fun. Now, some people will perk up and go, yeah, that's the way I want to do it. The problem with playing for fun is as soon as it gets uncomfortable, they're gone. Because it's no longer fun. And if you've been in a relationship, where I know you're in a long-term relationship, anybody that's on listening that's been in a long-term relationship knows there's times it's not fun. And if your partner bails as soon as it isn't fun anymore, you can't have sort of the big breakthroughs.
No, you can't. You can't have a relationship.
Yeah.
Because relationships are like emotions, you know, the emotions of the people playing out, unless you can stay centered and not play off your emotions.
Yeah.
You know?
The other part about playing to win is you're resourceful. Playing not to lose, you're reactive. Mm-hmm. So it's, are you creating it? Are you reacting? And coming to Kauai, my beloved was the one who basically playing to win. She's the one who had the vision. I played supportive role there. It wasn't my thing.
What, to get here?
To get here. Mm-hmm. But I said, I'll support you. So it was her vision, and I got on board. Now, if I was playing to lose, what I would have done is try to sabotage the whole thing and prove her wrong.
Right.
Rather than get on board and go, you know what? And it's beautiful. I love being here.
Right, and you get to see each thing, each way that you've looked at it to go forward or to not go forward.
Right.
Well, just to interrupt us, Paul is going to have a workshop on Saturday, May 15th from 2 to 5 at the Golden Lotus Studio. And you can go online to magicrelationship.net/Kauai to find out more about it. That's his site. But I actually have seen flyers quite all over the place.
Yeah, they're everywhere,
which is really good. And you can learn more about what's going to happen there. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what's going to happen in the workshop. I know I was at one of them, and I thought it was great. It was really fun and light and deep, and you left feeling really good.
Yeah, what we did is we dealt with the trilogy that creates a perfect storm. And the perfect storm happens when the three key areas that are really important in relationships, number one is communication. And if there's communication problems that you don't know how to deal with, that leads to item number two, which is people getting triggered. And triggered, we become unresourceful. We basically have fight, flight, freeze when we get triggered, and we're back in our reactive part of our mind. The third one is our beautiful needs. And there's a large group of needs, but Tony Robbins got it down to 6 key needs, and I've added a 7th one. So you'll go through those needs and be able to start identifying which needs are your priorities and whether or not you're getting them met, and help set it up in your relationship so you can let your partner know what beautiful needs you're trying to get met, because that's what drives our behavior, is trying to get a need met. And so, just to give you an idea, there's a need for certainty. So like, certainty is trust and understanding. Is my partner going to be loyal to me? When they give me their word, can I count on it? Do I have a place to spend the night? You know, do you have a home? Do you have a car? All these sort of create certainty in your life. But if your life becomes too certain, too predictable, people get what? They get bored. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we need variety. So you almost have to build in variety. It's almost like the term planned spontaneity. Mm-hmm. So you build in variety in your relationship so that need gets met. The next one is the need for significance. Am I a priority in your life? Now, if I become the only priority in your life, we've swung all the way over into codependence. But I need to know on a semi-regular basis, I'm a priority, I'm important, I'm significant in this relationship, and I want to let you know you're significant too. Then number 4 is love and connection. Is my need for love and connection getting met? And where this gets complicated is we have different strategies for getting that. How do you show somebody love?
Right.
It could be, you know, there's a 5 love languages.
Right.
Touch, talk, time.
Those are all really important too.
Yeah, they're all important, and you have your own priority. And the problem is, What I love to do is work with people that have been married 20, 30 years and help them reignite that. Because as we're in a relationship, we tend to pull back and just give our beautiful strategy.
Right, instead of really caring what the strategy will mean to the other person.
Right. So I wouldn't give my beloved a fishing rod for Christmas because she would like look at me and go, were you sleeping for the last year? What happened? You know. So the next need, which is I added, and Tony talks about it, but I added, is the need for intimacy. And intimacy is three different levels. There's emotional intimacy. There's physical intimacy, which is the day-to-day touch, just being held, hugged, kissed, foot rubbed. And then there's sensual intimacy that's in the bedroom. Those are three distinct different kinds of intimacy, but in a healthy relationship, you have all three of those.
Right.
And I've dealt with clients that haven't been physical in a year or 2 years, and they miss it, but they don't know how to get through it because they're still the past is up in their face, and they can't get through their past to be present and connected with each other.
Well, now for this workshop, do you have to be in relationship? Can you be, or does your partner have to come?
No, actually, these are principles you can use in intimate relationships or any other relationship. You can come single. We have plenty of single people come and couples come and people that are in a relationship, but only half of them are there.
Right.
So it's really universal principles. If you deal with other human beings on a regular basis, these will help you.
Right. Now, if someone wants to do a private session with you, can they call you?
Yeah, they can.
And what would the number be?
303-807-0159. 303-807-0159.
And is there a website, too?
Well, they could just magicrelationship.com. Now, when they go to that website, I just relaunched it. There are going to be some glitches in there, but all the information, you just go under, there's a column for work with me.
Okay.
And that the initial breakthrough session really helps people identify where they want to go, where they are now, and what are the roadblocks? What are the things that are in their way of having what they want right now?
Great. So just to be sure on this, you need to say magic relationship, because relationships is what I typed in mistakenly, and all kinds of weird things came up.
Yes, this is singular. Yes.
Magicrelationship.com.
.com.
Okay.
Not ships.
And then for the workshop, it's magicrelationship.net/Kauai.
Forward slash Kauai. Right. Yeah, and it's going to be on the heartbeat of Kauai. It's on there. They can find it in a bunch of different places. But, yeah, and they can call me if they want information, and it's down at the Golden Lotus, their yoga studio in Kapa'a.
Right. So that is going to be again on, hold on.
May 15th on a Sunday afternoon from 2 to 5. And I guarantee you, it's like, it is compressing the most important information I've learned over the last 20-some years or more into 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So don't expect a lot of breaks or breathing time. Come with your pen. Come ready to be deeply immersed and walk out of there. And I pretty much guarantee you, you're not going to look at relationships the same.
Yeah, and it's interactive, too, if you want.
Yes.
It's interactive. You don't have to participate, but you will want to.
Yeah. And this is the same information. It's interesting. This is the same information I've taught at Naropa University to the professors in Boulder, where I had them for a whole weekend. And then I also had, I've taught this to inmates in prison. So it goes both ways. You can deal with that same information because we're all human beings and we all want to understand about communication. We all want to be heard, understood, and valued. The other part of that is, and we're learn how to translate, because there's, in any profession, there's sort of the lingo of the profession. If you're a plumber, there's plumberies. Now, I made that up, but if you're a carpenter, you speak carpenter language. In relationship, the language is the language of feelings and needs, and learning how to speak in that language, it's a new skill. It's not like you're learning a new language, but you're learning how to use language in a new way.
Right.
To enter their world.
Right. And I must say that the way that you present it is really makes it seem a lot easier, as I did compassionate communication, nonviolent communication. And it was really challenging the way, the form that it was for us and for, I know, for a lot of people. And so you take that part away and make it easy to be able to use in your relationship.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And there's some, the most basic translation is almost all communication is either an act of love or a cry for help.
Right.
And then when it's a crying for help, what are they feeling? What are they needing right now? And if I get those, if I get prepared right, I can hear almost anything. If I don't, I hear it's an attack and I get defensive. And, you know, I still have that. The interesting thing is once you learn this, you have a choice, but it's not mandatory. You can still go back into dinosaur mode or reptile mode, go into reaction and go back, attack, defend. Or you have a new choice. Can I be compassionate? Can I enter your world? Can I really figure out what you're feeling and needing? And how can I meet you with compassion?
Well, right there, there's a word that most people have no idea what it means. So what does compassion mean to you?
Compassion to me means meeting somebody where they're at. Natalie and I were on a riverbank one day. I was up on the edge, up on this rock ledge, and she was down below, and I wanted her to see the view from where I was at. Now, one way is to say, honey, climb on up here. She has some balance issues, so that me staying up on top of this rock and saying, come on up here, without going down and meeting her, just wouldn't have been compassionate
right,
to me.
Right.
And so if somebody's hurting, compassion is to try to reach into their world and meet them where they're at, not saying, you know, and God, I hate
it's,
to even
it's not
do
making
that.
Them wrong or
exactly.
trying to fix them or having pity for them and doing things from that place. So doing it from a place of love for
yeah.
another.
And a lot of times, even in this beautiful new age world, we are not compassionate. Like, you shouldn't feel that way. It's your fault that you're choosing your feelings. It's like, thank you for letting me know. Now I can add feeling guilty to feeling depressed and
right.
and ashamed.
Right. So it's really learning how to understand yourself and be present for another.
Right. And be present for yourself, because mm-hmm. part of what you're learning is the magic of how do you communicate with yourself. Because if you transform the way you communicate, you can transform your relationship with anyone, especially yourself. Because the way a lot of people, including myself, at times communicate with myself can be harsh.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're hard on others, it's because you're really hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't have anything out there that you don't have in here.
And there was one other key concept. I don't know how much time do we have here.
We have like 3 minutes.
Okay, 3 minutes. I'll be really quick. There are three reasons that most relationship coaching and counseling fails. And these are important, because if you're ever going to get coaching and counseling, you can walk into your coach and say, I got these and I want to figure these out. Number one is if you don't agree on the problem, you won't agree on the solution. And a lot of times
right.
what people walk in is they think that their partner is the problem. And so they're spending their whole time trying to fix their partner rather than think about what can they do for themselves. Number two is W-I-I-F-M, W-E-I-T. W-I-I-F-M is what's in it for me. So sometimes, like, I don't know, I'm stereotypical here, the masculine will show up at coaching because the feminine said she's leaving if he doesn't come. That's not what's in it for him. That's an external force. And as soon as that leaves, he quits.
Right.
So you want to find out what's in it for each person personally before you go in there. And then W-E-I-T is whatever it takes. Until they know what's in it for them, they're not willing to do whatever it takes. And the third, final one is what's your commitment to your commitment?
That's really good.
Yeah, it's easy on New Year's Eve to quit smoking, quit drinking, quit
that's
all
right.
the rest. But hey, it's April now.
Right.
And when was the last time you were at the gym? So it's like setting up a system where you're committed to having an ongoing process and breakthrough and practice.
Right. And you have to be realistic. This is really, you know, really, really important to be realistic. As I'm a hypnotherapist and working with people who come in and want to quit smoking or want to quit drinking, and they think they want to, but what's really true is they're not quite ready yet.
Yeah.
And so you do the steps to help them to get ready to be able to say, I'm really ready now because I want to do it for myself.
Yeah. And you're dealing with people's, the invisible world, their habits, patterns, and beliefs, whether it's hypnotherapy, all the rest of it's like trying to make the invisible visible.
Right.
So your habits, patterns, and beliefs support your relationship rather than destroying it. So you become resourceful rather than reactive. And, oh, here's this horrible word I used to hate. You start to become mature rather than manipulative. And until you can come to terms with your feelings and needs, you have to be manipulative because you're ashamed of your need for physical intimacy or whatever your need is. So you try to manipulate the other person and then make them feel bad because they didn't read your mind right.
Right. Oh, that happens a lot in relationship. Like, because you've been in one for so long, you can anticipate. But all of a sudden, when you start to do this kind of work, you no longer, that's not your job to anticipate another. It's your job to let them tell you and your job to tell them. So you're clear with your communication.
And coming to terms with your needs, because there's a whole group out there that said, like, you shouldn't have needs, or there's only one need, or all the rest. And it's like, I'm sorry, I still need food, and I need it regularly, and I need sleep, and you know, I need intimacy for my, not for life and death, but for my emotional well-being.
Yeah.
So.
And knowing that those are fine, they're okay. If that's what your need is, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Not feeling self-judged.
Right. Yeah. So what I want people to think about at the end of this is master or dabbler. Do you want to... There's nothing wrong with dabbling in something as long... Like, I have a cast on my hand right now because I was a dabbling surfer. And I got hit and had my hand broken because I was dabbling. I was not a master. But even in a master, you can get hurt.
Absolutely.
But what you want to think about is most people want mastery results from their relationship, but they're only putting in dabbling. So what you need to do, if you want mastery, you want those results, you actually have to put in the effort and learn the skills.
Yeah, this is great. So once again, Paul Sterling is having a workshop at the Golden Lotus Studio on May 15th from 2 to 5 p.m. It's in the middle of the day. And it is going to be an amazing workshop called Argue Less, Love More. And if you want to talk to him personally or make an appointment for personal sessions, because he is a relationship coach and many other things, you can reach him at 303-807-0159. You can always go online to www.magicrelationship.net/Kauai to see the workshop and see some information about him. And he also has a website that is magicrelationship.com. It's a little under construction, but they'll be able to get something there. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And I love to share this information. It's been such a gift for me, and I love to pass it on.
Well, and you do a great job. You make it light and loving, and you're a very happy person. If you could see him sitting here, he always has a smile on his face while he's talking. So it's serious information that comes across in a really loving and kind way. So
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. And up next, you're going to be joining Indigo with Omnitorium. And our next song is Radioactive by Madeline Bailey.